Attention. What's another? So we have 1.5 hours of meditation. Do you need 1.5 hours? Maybe initially no need 1.5 hours. I think 1 hour most of you also cannot take it already. So we make use of 1/2 hour for our Dharma sharing. Better. Turn to Heart Sutta. I will have to compensate for yesterday night. Yesterday night we wasted some precious time on the worldly question. Okay, turn to page 12. 1.3. Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Based on his poem, then, Sun Siu has yet to realize the true mind. So now you understand, huh? Hence his inability to comprehend the higher Dhamma as realized by Hui Ning. The reason being, he is using the mundane mind to cultivate, hence the delusion. In my second and third Heart Sutra classes recap, I delve in more detail into Hui Ning's Platform Sutta, and I also taught you how to see form, the unreality of form, its condition arising or impermanent nature, and its non-self or empty nature, so as to enable you to develop the wisdom to finally see beyond form. This is then followed by the same understanding that all the other four aggregates of mind, which are feeling, perception, activity of mind or mental states, and consciousness. In Pali, they are called Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. They are also impermanent, cause of suffering, and are empty. Only then can you start to develop the understanding of why form is emptiness and emptiness is form. Otherwise, you cannot understand. Because it's anatta, that's why it's empty, no reality, empty nature existence. Then mundane life with and without spiritual understanding. You can be very successful in life, both financially and career-wise. Means all these are mundane aspects of success. So when you are financially doing very well, career-wise, then with the good career, of course, you make your money. But these are mundane aspects of life. But without the spiritual understanding, you are still vulnerable. And many things can still afflict us, especially so the First Noble Truth, Eight Conditions or Eight Reality, which are also the reality of life and existence. This is the reason why the Buddha renounced the world once he saw the foresight of an old man, a very sick man, and a dead man. And then finally a samana, or a renunciate, a renounced holy person in robe. The then Buddha-to-be realized that he had a problem with regards to old age, sickness, and death. Hence he seeked the spiritual understanding to gain the wisdom to free himself from this problem. He then developed the spiritual understanding and became a Sammasambuddha underneath the Bodhi tree. Without the true spiritual understanding or wisdom, one cannot be free from all suffering, because one can still have fear, worry, anxiety, etc. via one's own self-delusion, which will condition one to cling onto and grasp onto one's five aggregate of form and mind. Hence, one should realize the importance of cultivating the spiritual understanding via meditation, as taught by the Buddha, to enable one to live the noble life of love, peace, joy, and harmony. Only then is there no more fear, no more worry, anxiety, unhappiness, and suffering, etc. The spiritual understanding will lead to non-delusion and wisdom, enabling one to clearly understand who you are, what you are, and how human beings function, and eventually leading to the enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is very important. You have to bear in mind, a lot of people fail to understand They thought life is only money. True or not? Most people think, if I am financially very well off, my life will be good. There may be some truth in that, but not necessary. Sometimes the more money you have, the more problem you have too. That's why human being is a very funny breed of being. Got money also problem, no money also problem. Especially the man. Too much money, the wife also scared of you. No money, the wife also suffer because of you. So, if you don't have the Dhamma, with all this, what they call mundane success, you still have problem. That's why you should read the book that I delivered at the Bangkok seminar in the year 2013, August. I printed it. Success in life, based on meditation, as taught by the Buddha. So when you achieve all this success, these are only materialistic, and you think you got no more problem, but you will still have problem because as you go through life, you will still have craving, attachment, fear, worry, anxiety. Then when you are confronted with the First Noble Truth reality, sometimes money cannot help you. Understand? They say money cannot buy you life. Understand? You work all the while, all the way, chasing for money, using what? Using your health. In return, you lose your health, you got the money. Then when you get old, you develop health problem, you spend all your money back on the sick body. So this is foolish. But if you understand, you must know when to stop, when to set your priority, because without the spiritual understanding to complement the materialistic life, you cannot have complete peace, complete liberation from suffering. When you are confronted with pending death, there is fear because you don't understand what death is, who died, what died, and what happened after you die. Then when you are afflicted with disease, you cannot use money to buy somebody and hey, help me to get sick. Can you do that? Even if you want to pay, nobody can take over your sickness. Understand? You cannot tell the doctor, hey, transfer my disease and sickness to this guy, I will pay you. No such thing. Then sometimes you got to buy expensive organs to transplant, and the transplant process is no guarantee. There is rejection and all those things. So if you don't have the understanding of the reality of this form and mind, you will be afflicted. That's why the Buddha knew when he saw these three signs. The first thing that came to his mind, you know what was it? Everything that the Father gave him, the four palace of the four seasons, and all the pleasure and the happiness of life that he received, these are not lasting, he said. Because ultimately, he said, he has a problem. But he came to know everybody must grow old, get sick and die. So there is this problem, there is this reality. That's why he decided to go for. He doesn't want to wait till he experienced them. He wants an answer to this before he get old, before he gets sick and die. But how many of you have that thought? Even you go to hospital, you see all the sick people, what you do? Without the Dhamma, what you do? Aiyah, that place don't go near. Afterward, contagious. Then I also get sick. Then you try to avoid that place. But you can never understand the mind of those who have cultivated before. The moment they see the condition from their past cultivation come back to them, that's why the moment he saw the three signs, plus the last one, the samana, his mind completely different. Then even at that point, the wife just gave birth to Rahula, he still decide, determined to live the palace life, to go in search for this truth. That was the reason why he renounced the world. Then he just go in search for truth. Those who have understanding, they will understand. That's why to renounce the world, to seek understanding is very important. But nowadays, renouncing the world doesn't mean you have to go for anasana. Renouncing the world is to have that determination to renounce the worldly thing that bring about attachment, clinging, grasping, leading to suffering and affliction. So you renounce those aspects. Then you go for in search for the answer, for the truth, for the understanding to liberate your mind. So that you know old age, sickness and death is no more an issue for you, no more a problem for you. So what actually happened when Sammasambuddha or Sakyamuni Buddha became enlightened? What is the difference? What did he realize? What did he realize? You think he become the Sammasambuddha fully enlightened? He is a very, very special being. He only realized one major truth. What was it? What was his problem? No. This OA. Yeah, correct. That one is correct. But what was his problem? The four signs. The first three signs he saw. His problem is getting old, getting sick and dying. Eh? Then how come he sit under the Bodhi tree and become fully enlightened? You mean he don't grow old, don't get sick and die? Eh? He still grow old, get sick and die. Eh? So what is the difference? That one doesn't answer the question. He doesn't want to reborn. It's quite a good question. I got a good answer, but it doesn't answer the point. Understand? Well, he still, the body still go through old age, sickness, and death. So what's the difference? He have realized what? He have realized this body is not him. Understand? That's why there is no problem with him. Because the body go the way of nature. That's why he teach you how to contemplate. This body is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. And this is not him. So his problem is resolved. Understand? That's the only difference. So you tell me, but I also know that. So I enlightened already. Go ahead. It is not what you think. When you have not realized it, it's only a knowledge. What your thought tell you. What your thought tell you is not the wisdom. Without wisdom, you still cling, you still hold, you still believe this fellow is you. When you confront the reality of getting old, getting sick and die, you cannot have the wisdom to endure all those, to understand all those. That's why the Buddha endured until last minute. And you know what he told Ananda or not? He said, enough. Ananda asked him to extend his life. He said, enough. This body of mine is like a worn-out blockade, is it waiting to collapse any time? You still want me to extend? 45 years of sharing, not enough. If you really serious, 3 years is enough. In the Satipatthana Sutta, it's a maximum 7 years. You will at least realize anagami, the third stage of sainthood. So on this, you have to develop the understanding. So do not be complacent. Don't think you have time. This is life and death. That's why fifth patriarch says, the question of insistent birth and death is a serious matter. Don't just chase after tinted merits. Tinted merit can help you to have better life in this world, but it cannot free you from all the suffering that you confront or come into what they call contact, when you are in this existential world, where you have to face, where you have to go through. So when you have this understanding, you become dead serious. That's what my nature did in the year 1971. The moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I never turned back. All the way, I just want to develop this understanding. Okay? Okay, page 13. In the recap, Brathil emphasized on the following. So this one is just a summary of what we have gone through, the first three lessons. The importance of understanding Dhammapada verses 1, 2, 183, 21, 22, 23, and the final advice of the Buddha before his parinibbana, means Appamadena Sampadeta, they are all on the green board there. It's also in the Heart Sutta. Once one comprehends these verses, one will understand the importance of training the mind to be mindful, to be heedful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. One will wake up from the deluded dream state. We are seeing the danger of heedlessness, and one will then be very serious about life to develop the cultivation. This is what I have been emphasizing all the while. I hope you see the point. Then the second understanding is the danger of letting these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which are the root of all evil, from manifesting in your heart, in your consciousness. Because they are evil root, make you evil. They are also three poison, kill you spiritually. Then the importance of arising the four right effort to root out the three evil roots and the five mental hindrance. Then the importance of cultivating the five spiritual faculty to overcome the five mental hindrance. Then there's a note. Under Kayanupasana, there's a category of cultivation called Sati Sampajana. This is mindfulness and the four type of clear comprehension of every action and movement in the present moment. So this is the real meditation. This is the most important cultivation needed to stabilize one's sati or mindfulness. We are the daily mindfulness cultivation. Hence, this is the reason why Brother Teo always said, life itself is the real meditation, and life is our true teacher or greatest teacher. The four types of clear comprehension are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of domain of meditation, clear comprehension of suitability, and the clear comprehension of non-delusion. I have explained this on the first day. The domain of meditation means one can meditate in any posture, anywhere, any place, at any time, under any circumstances. Anything, external form, that is created by mind via perception is only a mental image. It comes and it goes, hence it's impermanent, not so real and empty. To cling on to it is obviously a delusion. Form is never a problem if we know how to use the mind without any attachment and delusion to understand it. So do not blame form. You say the beautiful form lure you, cause you to arise the craving, the desire, the lust. It's nothing to do with the form, it's your mind. Understand? If the user of mind has wisdom, the form is the form. You can actually experience the pristine beauty and wonders of form. Beauty, so what? Appreciate it. Even a date tree is very beautiful, do you know or not? But if I say a date body is very beautiful, I think you will not agree with me. Understand? Not the dead body, what happened? The element dispersed. Then you have been conditioned to look at that thing as, oh, you're so ugly. Because you every time see all your beautiful makeup, all your what, lipstick and all those things. Then nowadays they got artificial eyelash, artificial hair also. No hair also, no problem. They can put on a very, very nice, or very, very dark color. So these are all created by the human mind to lure the living being's mind, to deceive you. Then when you deludedly cling, grasp, that is a problem. But if you really see things as they are and appreciate each and every aspect of life, then nature is beautiful. Everything that you come across through your perception is beautiful. But these are very pristine. But you don't go back to memory, understand? You see them as they are. They have their characteristic. They have their pristine beauty. Yeah. Even a very normal human being will call very foul, very ugly. But if you really look without the mind interfering, it's just the way things are. And there are beauty in all these things. That's why you don't know how to appreciate. I remember 30 years ago when I came here, I like to look at nature. Then I like to look at the date tree. I learned so much on the date tree. I look. That's what the human body is all about, understand? The tree, how does it come about? From a seed. Then, from the seed, germinate, become what? A small seedling. Then it grows slowly into a plant. Then the plant grows into a tree. Understand? Then what happens? After that, grow old, wither, die. Yeah. Or it goes through the season. That's why my teacher say, you can be observant and mindful of nature. You learn a lot from nature. He used to tell me that nature has a lot of loving kindness. Nature has great compassion. Because he saw, he said, nature just give, give and give. Do you know what nature gives to you? Huh? You take for granted, the air you breathe, the water you drink, come from where? Come from nature. Then all the food that you consume, come from where? Come from nature. Then all the building material that give you the comfort, where the engineers use them, the builder use them, they come from nature. So if you look at nature, they just give. They never complain. They never ask for anything back. Then even the tree, they endure the sunlight and give you the shade. Then as a human being, you never have gratitude, never appreciate what you do. You spit under the tree, you urinate under the tree, you do all the funny thing, and they finally so greedy, chop the tree and sell. This is what human beings' greed is all about, delusion is all about. You destroy nature, nature destroy you. Because there is a ecosystem that goes into the way the planet actually survive, how the planet regenerate. That's why you don't disturb nature. Nature becomes very beautiful. There is no pollution. The river, the sea, the water, all very beautiful. But when human beings come, what happens? They have a lot of scientific understanding. So they give birth, they multiply. Then they don't know how to deal with all the shit and urine and those contamination that they emit into nature. That's why they get the pollution. Then now they start to develop all the engineering understanding to filter your sewage, to take care of your sewage. That's why we got this very advanced mechanical sewage plant and all those things. Then they realize when you consume fossil energy, you create problems. So now they have to go back to green energy and all things. Then they encourage reforestation and all those things. So this is what nature is all about, life is all about. There is a balance. When you disturb the balance, disharmony will cause a lot of harm and changes to happen. So when you have this understanding, then you will learn. Then my teacher also looked at nature. He said, where he stayed in the forest last time. He said, the forest is very beautiful, a lot of harmony. Everything is very pristine, very fresh, very still. The air are fresh. Yeah, there are less human beings. In the city, very polluted. You know what pollution or not? Noise pollution is number one. Then air pollution is number two. Then all the effluent that you emit into the city, your sewage, your urine, your whatever discharge, then you got the industry that pollute the environment. Then you got certain type of chemical that they use, they also discharge it. Some are very toxic. Then the byproduct of this nature's natural product like rubber, palm oil, you know the effluents are very, very high in pollutant. So they need to treat. So now the Department of Environmental say, you must treat this effluent before you discharge it out. Then they got certain requirement. But people go and pay the officer through corruption and all those things and bypass all this. So finally, who suffer? That's why corruption is a very severe illness within our society. They compromise everything at your own health risk and all those things. Then my teacher look at nature, he said, you look at the rock, you look at the tree, the plants, they are so beautiful. They are not like human beings. Small, small things also complain. Rain also complain. No rain also complain. Sunshine also complain. No sunshine also complain. What does the plant do? Is it? When they go through the harsh autumn, what they do? They shed their leaves, isn't it? And hibernate through winter, isn't it? Then, to bud again in when? Spring. Then flower in summer. Beautiful. And they accord and flow. They don't complain. Human being cannot wait one. No. Human being complain. Why is so cold? Last night, not cold, surprisingly. I thought with the rain, it would be cold. After we invoke the invocation to the deva, straight away it rained. No. Then after that, we did our sharing also. It rained again. Then at night, I thought it would be cold. But surprisingly, last night was not cold. How do you all feel? Was it cold? Not cold, same. That's why you are blessed. Then my teacher also say, if you look at nature, you can learn. You look at the rock, the tree outside. If I put you outside of the house, like the tree and the rock, you think you can keep quiet and sleep through or not? At night, shiver like that. Not only at home, outside here. Tonight you don't stay in your room, you stay outside. You see how you endure. But you look at the rock, the mountain, the trees, what they do? They got no fear there. Why? Because they can echo. They can accept the reality. Then they go through. They echo and they flow. That's why they are peaceful. Why? They got no mind. Because you have this cunning mind, selfish mind, complain a lot. You're outside here so cold. Why we come? We shouldn't have come. You know, 30 years ago when I was here, this building was not so nice. This building was only half, the other side. Then you know what flooring they have? Cement rendering. No hot water. I remember early morning wake up, shivering. Then that time no heat tech, nothing. You know how we sleep at night. We put a lot of clothing. Then the blanket, not like now you have very nice blanket. That time blanket is just that the first time you come from China, you remember your mother bring that very thin one. That one. I tell you, it's really cold. Then sometimes morning brush teeth also shivering until your teeth make noise. Then we come here and meditate. I only got one bath towel, no? And the bath towel also because that time my family was not well off. I bought this very cheap one my mother they all buy, very thin one. Can't even cover your whatever. Like you go to toilet to take bath. Normally you wrap it around your body. It can't even cover all. So that type of small towel. So, and yet we endure. We meditate. And I was full of faith. And I really appreciate those moments. And it was in one of these 5-day retreat that I realized the condition was so beautiful. Then the mind just went into cessation for one moment. Then after that, everything become different. So all this is understanding. When you have the understanding, you don't need such good facility. Now you are so blessed because 30 years ago, you really don't have such condition. Now with such condition, you should do better, a lot better. Okay, anyway, to cut everything short, we finish it off. We are at number 5. Okay. Cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha, leading to the three types of corresponding wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, Cittamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya, is very important. For detail, please refer to Brother Teo's Dhamma Note on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This is the book that I talk about. It was the first edition that was printed last time in A4 size. Now I have printed it in, I think, B4 size. But I didn't bring any more books. Pamasri, no more. No, all the book I was told, not much left. Oh, Mi Fong supposed to bring? Oh, then never mind. She just gave me some money. So I think most of them are already taken off. Don't worry. You go to the website, you can find. Then also in the appendix, you can find this tree turning. The colorful one. This colorful page. This one is an A4 size. But there is an A3 size in your appendix. This one is appendix 1. It's under appendix. Appendix 1. What appendix is it? 8. Appendix 8, you can find them. And you read through, it's very beautiful. Yes, correct. Appendix 8, page 174. 174. So this book, Heart Sutta, there is a lot of things inside here. It's a wealth of pointers, Dhamma pointers, that can help you develop the understanding and the awakening. They are all very nicely done up. You should thank all Kayamita who have helped prepare all this. We should rejoice with their hard work and what they have done for you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now at least we finish until page 13. So you can have your meditation now, I think. Yeah, you can have your meditation now. Then after we will continue. We stop at chapter 4.